Right now, we're going to welcome in Dr. Mark Herko from the Sharon Hospital. He is joining us. We set this interview up a while ago. And, of course, things have now drastically changed in our area. Let's see if we've got Mark there. Good morning, Mark.
You've got me there, and I've got your back in case you need help with the computer. So I got you there.
So. I'll tell you, what a morning for that to happen. But I just earlier this hour got off the phone with the Region 1 superintendent and the principal of Housatonic Valley Regional High School, Evan Shriver, and they are going to distance learning effective Monday. And they're going to stay there through January 19th. You look at the maps all around Connecticut. There are only five towns in Connecticut that are not considered critical now. One of those happens to be Falls Village. But other than that, you look at the individual numbers. And I tell people, don't look at these maps and look at the individual numbers, how many in each town. Look at the direction that those numbers are going. And unfortunately, it's just amazing how our area is really skyrocketing in cases.
Oh, it is, and I mean this is a culmination of what's been going on all year. Each little phase and each little segment of what we're seeing of this pandemic, you see more and more virus, kind of build into the community, and we're at the point now where we're saturated, and that's why it was interesting to see what Vermont did the other day. You know, they've been checking their wastewater on a weekly basis just to see how much virus load there is in the wastewater, and it was so high on Monday that they made issued a statement that if anybody actually had contact with people outside of their people in their home, they needed to be tested. It was that prevalent. So we're at that point now where now we just hang on tight, and we hope that all of the various safeguards and all the playbook that we've initiated as within our system holds out, and that's the whole thing. But it's getting tight everywhere.
And you of course you have testing available, and have you seen an increase in people coming in that actually have COVID-19?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, knowing what's going on in the state, we're up to 7% positive rate, and we're seeing about that here. And we ran into an issue within the system and in the area there where the rapid testing just before Thanksgiving, we haven't received any shipments in almost a month, and we got down to we only had less than 200 tests for the whole system. So it was to the point where we were looking at contingencies. So I'm just concerned in that, when this first hit in March and April, we had just three states that were really, really, heavily prevalent with the virus. And now with all 50 states and essentially the whole region of the United States being affected, there's really no backup. There's no place to hide. And all the PPE and all the testing and all the hospital beds are being utilized. So there's really nowhere else to go.
You know, I think it's one of the interesting things I think that might come into play is that with New Vance Health operating Sharon Hospital and several other hospitals in our region, there are more beds available. But with when you're dealing with a pandemic, it also and you can talk to this point, if people don't really start following those simple rules of social distancing, washing their hands, and also wearing masks when you're outdoor around other people, that the people that come in for COVID-19 are really going to be taking the place of someone who also might need hospitalization and be in dire circumstances, and unfortunately they wouldn't be included in the statistics because hospitals have the potential to be overwhelmed here.
Well, and that's my fear, in that this is traditionally the busy season. Once you turn the heaters back on in mid-October, all the way through New Year's, this tends to be the very busy season with respiratory problems, flu, stuff like that. And we're seeing that. And now you throw in COVID, which is adding an additional 50% of patients on top of that. It's really, just in the last week, I mean, our system, we went, we're about probably 25% full of COVID patients now throughout our system. And so we've been busy kind of moving people around and moving physicians and just getting everything ready so we can kind of ride the wave as it comes through. So I've actually got my backup stuff here to be here in the hospital in case we need it over the weekend.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Herko from the Sharon Hospital, and it's to look at this as yourself. You have explained to us all the protocols that the hospital has put in place to keep people safe. Are you still going along with testing and the normal scheduling of regular surgeries and everything like that as for now?
We still are, and I know we have almost by every other day calls with the state, who are really looking closely at how tight are things getting, how much can you handle, but there is a need out there because we found that when people deferred a lot of their elective testing and stuff, we had a bump up in really serious illnesses and complications and stuff like that. So we really don't want people to defer their normal health. And their health maintenance, because it really it'll be like piling on in a month or so, and that'll even make it worse. So please, if you can, when you have a scheduled appointment, see your physician. If you have a scheduled test, go ahead and schedule it. We're doing the COVID testing and everything else, and keeping the COVID patients that we pretty much out of the main flow and in the various entrance and exit areas of the hospital that aren't being used. And on top of that, we're preparing for a vaccine. So there's a lot of moving parts right now. But we're here to maintain safety and the main well-being of our community.
If things keep raising the way they're going with the figures, do you anticipate the National Guard resetting up that extra tent just in case it's needed?
We're constantly being asked by the state if we need it or if other areas need it. And, it's a great thing to have, but with the need now of us, keeping elective testing and keeping, and having a surge of normal patients here, we have nobody to staff a place like that, and that's what the state keeps asking. It'd be great if there was the ability to have, if there was a resource of people out there to actually help staff one of those facilities. Otherwise, you can have a beautiful facility like that, but there's nobody there to work in it. So that actually then defeats the purpose, because a lot of the people that normally would have gone there, we're getting them ready to give vaccines, we're getting them ready to, they're doing testing, and they're actually busy working in their normal jobs. So you can see it's a conundrum right now.
And really, it's really hard even to bring in traveling physicians simply because, as you pointed out earlier in this interview, this is now a 50-state phenomenon, and everybody is scrambling right now, every state. It's not just the Northeast.
There are, and that's the thing. There's nobody not being affected, so everybody's in the same boat. And that's why you're seeing states like Rhode Island that have completely, all their beds are full. They have no place to put patients anymore, so they're moving people to their neighboring states. You're seeing it out west, where all the ICUs are full. They're running out of ventilators and stuff. So all the things that we saw before. And another thing I wanted to bring up is, when we hit the summer, we had a different type of person that was being infected. It was the younger population, and therefore they were healthier, so the hospitalizations were shorter, and the severity of the illness was a lot less. We're getting back to the point where it's rotated back to the elderly again. And because of that, we're seeing long hospitalizations, people on ventilators and high-flow oxygen, and all the complications of the things we had before. The main thing, we're a little smarter now, so we can recognize when we think somebody has this, and we can quickly add some of the therapies we didn't have before, like the antibody infusions and the remdesivir and stuff like that. And that has helped in shortening the severity and duration of the course of the illness.
Way back when we've been talking about this and you've been warning about this, you even had an op-ed that you did in the Lakeville Journal about this. Now, if people want more information, I know that they can go to your website, which is patients.healthquest.org/location/Sharon-hospital. They'll find more information there. But I guess this is just the type of thing that you're going to have to deal with on a day-to-day basis like the rest of us.
Oh, it is, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to stay. We're vigilant. We stay up on this. We upgrade and update our public service announcements. We have a hotline, and we're busy, working on that because we've got to update that for the vaccine. So there's a lot of machinations in the background, just trying to stay ahead of everything. And we appreciate just the patience and the community outreach that we receive, because people are recognizing that we are now reaching a very difficult time.
Mark, it's always good to speak to you, even under these strenuous circumstances. Once again, pass along our thoughts and best wishes to all the people that work at the hospital, from maintenance to the doctors, to the surgeons, to the nurses, everybody. You're all doing a fantastic job with a lot of stress that is going on. Just keep up the good work.
Well, thanks, Marshall. We'll keep communicating and being as open as possible about everything that's going on. So I really appreciate your help.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much. Take care. That is Dr. Mark Herko from the Sharon Hospital with an update on COVID-19 this morning.